for having us today. I'm pretty emotional about her story. So we're going to kind of jump right into it. It was really funny as I was trying to prepare for my part of this. I was asking the Lord, you have to start with something funny or a joke. And it's like nothing came. So we're just going to jump right into the serious business of talking about our favorite subject, abortion. Thank you so much, Jenny, for that story. It just beautifully blends with what we brought today. So thank you very much for that. I wanted to introduce to you Olivia Gordon. She is our client services director at Blues Care Network, and she and I have worked together now about five years, and we work very closely together with the client care that we provide there and developing programming that meets the needs of the clients that we have coming in. So she's really in the heart of it. She's in the meat of it. She meets with clients daily when she's there, and then she trains volunteers and other client advocates to kind of reproduce the process that a client will go through from the time she walks in the door until the time she leaves, and then even beyond that. So I'm really very, very grateful to have Olivia. She just really carries the heart of the ministry.
And this is Nancy Aiken. She's our center director, and so she started as a volunteer in 2003. So be careful if you volunteer, you could end up in the directory. She also really carries the heart of our ministry. So Nancy has really taught me a lot about how to love women that come in and how to understand what they're going through. We may never have been in their shoes, but we can learn to love them the way that Christ loves them. So that's what I've learned from her. So we wanted to talk about abortion today. It's kind of a big topic right now, as I'm sure you're all aware. So the first thing we wanted to talk about is knowing the person considering abortion. I feel like Jenny's story just gave us like a really great picture of what it can be like to be someone in that situation. I want to read you a quote from Sidna Mass. She has a book called Her Choice to Heal. About her abortion experience. And she says, a woman choosing abortion does not consider it as she would her clothing for the day or whether to get her ears pierced. But rather, she chooses it like an animal that's caught in a trap and chews its own leg off to survive. So Jenny really described really well, it's amazing how the Lord brought this together, because she described really well what a woman goes through when you're in the fight or flight. Your brain really shuts down. She mentions how she couldn't really think and how she doesn't remember. And it's really just the way your body responds when you're in shock. And so that's the survival mechanism that a lot of these women are going through when they're considering an abortion. So the best thing we can do for them is just to help defuse the intensity, try to help them be able to think. And so I'm not going to go through the questions right now that we ask, but you can help her try to think about her situation long term, and you can refer her to us. We that's what we do too, and just in love to try to help them take a breath, take a minute and think. The most important thing really is love. And so there's an anachronism for love that we can use. Okay, so L is to listen and learn. Learn about her feelings, what she's going through, what her values are, what is her family like, what's her situation. She needs to know that you care for her as a person and not just her baby. And then O would be open to her different options. There's more than just abortion. She can only see that maybe right now, you know, but to help open to her other options. And then V, value her. Value her as a female who's created in the image of God. She's created to bear life. And we're going to talk about that more in a little bit. But he's big enough to help her through whatever difficult decisions she needs to make right now. And then E, empower her with your unconditional support and with concrete resources. So referring her to someone that can help her. Also just helping her know that whatever decision she makes, you're going to be there for her as a person.
I loved the reaction that Sue had to you when you went into that medical clinic. And that's how we try to be with the women coming in, because when all they can see before them is abortion and they want to cover the sin that they've been involved in with another sin, and they don't necessarily call it that. I mean, they're not even necessarily aware of it, but in Sue, in Jenny's case, she was. But all Sue did, she was there. She was just simply there to love her, not to condemn her, not to tell her how wrong she was. I mean, she obviously already knew. She was caught. She was caught in all that she was hiding, that she was doing. And so it's really important. I mean, if that is really your only takeaway from today, is that as a woman, you are so capable of being that Sue to somebody. And it's in you, it's who you are as created in the image of God with that vulnerable heart to really love someone, to love them well right where they are. That's what you're called to do. You're not called to condemn and talk about all the sin part. The Holy Spirit is there to convict us of sin. And he does a really good job of it. So I just loved that you had that God orchestrated that whole thing so that you had that woman there to just show you a really loving response to your situation.
Yes, I think our two things we really wanted to help us all remember today is love and prayer. So prayer is huge. So be sure to be praying for her decision. Be praying for people that she can come in contact with to help her choose life.
Can you? Closer.
Okay.
In different situations where people are talking about abortion. And so we really wanted to address that because that's going to be a pretty common place for most people. And so we want you to remember a couple of things. And I wanted to give you a little bit of a story from my own situation. It was a number of years ago, a woman that I had met was really wanted to get actively involved in some pro-life things like protesting and sidewalk counseling and 40 days for life and all of that, and she had a real activist type of personality. And as we were talking about her view of abortion and what it was that she really felt about abortion, she said, "Really, my motive is I just want those women to stop murdering their babies, and I want to be the one to tell them." And I was really aghast at that response from her. I am post-abortive, and I hadn't been through any healing at that time. And so when she was actually addressing me that way without realizing that I was post-abortive, it was a very painful undoing inside of me. And of course, it was just another thing. I need healing, but I just really needed at the moment to get away from her. So be careful of your conversation. Be careful. Don't assume that the audience to whom you're speaking has the same view as you have or has the same experience you have. You don't know what you don't know about that person and their life. You know, you have probably nine people at each table. Statistically, 2 to 3 people at each one of these tables is post-abortive. And you may not know. It is a really deep secret, and it takes a long time for a woman to develop the courage enough to come forward and say, "I need healing," and then receive it. Because there's a whole mechanism of shame that really shrouds that experience, especially if the woman was, like in Jenny's situation, she's a Christian walking with God and finding herself in this very compromising situation, you consider all kinds of things, and then you follow through with all kinds of things in order to hide what it is that you're doing. You would just, you know, you just be amazed at the stories of people and then what they try to hide afterwards. So be very sensitive. You don't necessarily know. You might know some. You might have grown up with some of your friends here, some of the women in your life, but you don't necessarily know. They may be post-abortive, or they know someone that's post-abortive. Their sister, their mother, their grandmother. You don't know, and it might have been last year. It might have been 40 years ago. So just always keep that in the back of your mind, that the person that you're engaging in this conversation regarding abortion, in your opinion, could be post-abortive. And you want them to be able to come to you and say, where can I go for help for this? And you want to be that safe place. I mean, I'm assuming everybody here would like to be that safe place. So really just taking the time with the Lord to kind of look at your heart and analyze kind of where you sit with abortion, how you feel about someone who has actually been through an abortion experience. And take that time with the Lord to really know where you stand, especially engaging in this environment that we have now. I know for us, we've done a lot of different booths and different tabling events in the public, and we almost always have someone come to us from a different political perspective than we have. Somebody who really doesn't understand who we are or what it is that we represent and how it is that we affirm life. And there is always a place where you can find common ground when you're coming from that approach of love, when you're really empowered by the sense of the love of God. I'll tell you, my mom, this is really interesting. My mom is a very liberal woman. She's just politically very liberal on every front, and she's very pro-choice. But my mother is also very proud of the work that I do with post-abortion healing, and that she knows CareNet is a pro-life organization. And I will tell her stories sometimes of clients that we have coming in, or from our post-abortion retreats that we do and groups that we have. And she will literally be crying because she understands that is a very painful decision in someone's life. It is not to be taken lightly. It's not to be taken as just like the quote that Olivia read earlier. It's a really big deal in somebody's life to choose to abort their child, and there's no place for it but the foot of the cross. And though my mother doesn't believe a lot of those things because she sees things very politically, we can meet on the common ground of a woman's heart. Abortion hurts a woman. Abortion hurts a family. So you can always find a common ground, even if they come from a completely different stance. Be looking for that common ground, that place where you can really meet and agree on the harm that abortion specifically can have on a woman and on her relationships.
So something that we mentioned earlier that we just wanted to expand a little bit on at the end here is just appreciating the gift of life that we have. So as women, we talked about being created in God's image. What does that look like? And I encourage you to take some time really to pray about it and search the scriptures and find out for yourself too more of what it means that you as a woman are created in God's image. What does that look like? Some of the things to think about are we possessed gifts of nurturing, of grace, of beauty, connecting in relational ways with each other and with men, with children, and the ability to bear life in our womb. That's part of what makes us in God's image. God creates life, he gives us life, and he gives us the privilege of bearing that life inside of us. It's just an enormous thing. It's amazing. And I think it's important for us to remember this as part of our identity. I meet with a lot of college girls over at the center. A lot of college girls come in. And I'll just tell you, this is really a countercultural idea. It's not really popular in our culture that we can bear children. And I think it's awesome. I mean, I just see so many kids here, and I know you guys really appreciate that. And I think that's a beautiful picture of who God is to this world. So, and when we embrace really who we are as women, it allows the men in our lives to also embrace who they are created to be in God's image. You know, they are created to protect and to provide and to give strength to their families. And so when we live up to what God has created us to be, they can do that too. You know, it really raises them to that higher standard too. So our strength is in our vulnerability and our tenderness, our ability to love deeply. And it can penetrate the heart of a man and call him to action. You know, I love Jenny's story about how Rod responded. I mean, that is just a beautiful picture of a man living up to the image of God that he was created in. So we need to, you know, really just celebrate our life-giving nature, which I see you guys doing, and it's so cool. And pass it along to see other people's lives influenced. We can change, we can really influence our culture just by the way we live. That's really God's answer to abortion. It's love, and it's giving life. Did you want to?
I do love God's design for men and women, marriage, family, the whole life-giving thing. It is so beautiful and it's so perfect, and it can't be improved upon in any way. And you know, as you are living out your own femaleness, it does, like Olivia said, it does call that man in your life, be it your dad, your son, your brother, your husband, boyfriend, it does call him to action as a man. And we've seen that in the center. Most of the time when we have, if a man comes in with a woman who's pregnant and we take them back and they become a client also, and whether we're speaking one-on-one with him, man-to-man, we really love to be able to do that, or if we're meeting with a couple, sometimes male and female advocate meet with a man and woman who are in it together, we begin to kind of draw a picture of what this man is created to be in the image of God without necessarily using that language, but just what is the characteristic of a man. And any time that I've been in this situation, the man has straightened up a little bit taller in his seat, and it's like, yes, I do, and I am a man, and I do resonate with what you're saying. Whether they know God or not, they identify with who they truly are at the very core of their being. And that allows a woman to just freely give life and to not have to think about getting into, you know, being in that survival mode. It completely takes her out of that survival mode because she has the support of that man alongside of her. And it allows her then to think about what is the next thing? How am I going to take care of my body so I'm taking care of this baby so it, you know, we can be healthy together. And it's just such a beautiful picture, and we've seen it time and again at Karenette. We've also seen it when it hasn't worked, and that's a really pretty devastating thing. But we want to show you, we want to end our talk today with a video, and then Olivia is going to give you a little bit of a glimpse into one of our clients' lives. We want to make sure that people understand, you know, Blues Care Network and Wish Medical, we are a pregnancy resource center, but men are the other half of this equation. So what you're going to be seeing in the very near future is us really pressing for men to come in and be advocates for men, developing fathering, more of a fathering initiative, and inviting men to be part of the process in the pregnancy center. We've neglected them, we've neglected men too long in this issue, and you know, I for one have to apologize because we make men voiceless in this, and they're not, and we need them to speak up. We need them to be involved. As any of you know who have children, having that man involved as father makes a really huge difference than if you can imagine raising a child by yourself. It's very difficult. I was a single parent for a very long time. It's really hard, and when you have a man alongside you, it's just a whole world of difference. And so we want to show you this video, and it may actually end up changing your table discussions. But I do want you to see it, because this really the simplest answer is love to all of these questions. And whenever you're talking about abortion or relationship or the whole political atmosphere on so many issues, you know it's what God has mandated us to do. To love him wholeheartedly, to love him with all of our very being, to love him with our lives, to just love him so completely, and then love our neighbors as ourselves, love each other really well. And so everything else that comes in to play or conversation, when it's governed from that place, it becomes a very different conversation. And people, it resonates with people's hearts. It doesn't matter who they are. So, when a man or a father takes a stand for life, a woman is allowed to become a woman completely, to bear life freely, to embrace it completely. He is there to accept responsibility, to protect, to provide, and a woman then is free to be who she's created to be, a life giver. When a man steps into his God-given identity, a woman will almost always choose life. The ultrasound is a very powerful tool that we offer for free. But when that man says, "I am going to support you, I will do whatever needs to be done for you to have this baby," whether he's in relationship with her or not, that is a very deciding factor at that point. She may not even need an ultrasound. She's already made her decision, because he has decided to come alongside her as a man. It frees her to have life, to choose life. And that is one beautiful thing that we really have seen. So, can you turn the lights off up here?
Thank you. My name is Andrew Phillips.
My name is John Blanford.
My name is Shane Dyden. I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus.
I've been following Christ since 2000. I'm
the lead pastor of Westside Christian Fellowship.
I lead a home group, disciple a couple of guys.
I write weekly for the Christian Post.
And I had an abortion.
I've had two abortions, and I had an abortion.
So I was 28, and I didn't know God. I called myself a Christian at the time. I would go to church a couple of times a month. And I just started dating this gal, and she got pregnant.
We had a passive-aggressive stance. I was neither here nor there, so I never even fought for the opportunity to save a child. I conceded to an abortion. And even as a pastor, that decision still haunts me today. What would they look like? Would it be a boy? Would it be a girl? Their first steps, saying daddy, watching them grow. But those are just dreams. Dreams that often leave me heartbroken.
I should have manned up, and I should have fought for you, and I didn't. I'm so grateful that you are in heaven with Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you got to see me before I did. And I know you're going to extend my grace, but I just,
pain of regret is one of the hardest pains to deal with because it's a constant reminder that we let down God, we let down others, and we let down our child. And I know I'm not alone because I estimated that about 1 in 3 in the church have participated in an abortion. If you've had an abortion, I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry for the burdens and the weight that you've had to carry. I'm so sorry that women were subjected to such a terrible thing and no one tried to rescue you. I'm sorry for men not taking a greater stand in this area. I'm sorry for the church not doing it for you. I'm sorry that you try to hide this from everyone. I'm sorry that this is available. I am hopeful, so hopeful. I'm hopeful that this younger generation, you guys, just keep contending for life. As someone who's been on both sides, I'm telling you to keep contending for life. That is my hope, and my hope is to see a generation rise up and say, you know what, no more. Somebody should have been there to rescue you, but you do have a rescuer. We find hope, we find peace in Christ. You don't have to live in shame and darkness. You can run to God's light, to forgiveness and grace and mercy. And even those who maybe know this, but they really haven't lived in that, they know that God's mercy and grace is real and haven't felt it, I would just encourage you to turn to Him and allow that forgiveness to take place. Open up your heart, begin to confession and repentance if warranted, and turn to Him and say, Lord, I need you today to bring this cleansing and this forgiving aspect to my life. I want to feel that. And God will do that. Jesus will honor that prayer.
We offer post-abortion recovery in Canada, and we also have a very big goal to establish it in every church. We have people who are post-abortion and people who are not that help facilitate. We have men facilitating for men, so it's available. If you are post-abortion, if you know someone who's post-abortion, they don't need to sit with that the rest of their lives. They can be really free. God's grace is amazing to heal. And I can attest to that, but then maybe if you have any questions, He really, His blood is enough. He really is. So anyway, thank you guys so much. Olivia's got a story to share with you. You've got more information in the back.
I just wanted to share quickly a client story that we had. One of the stories that has impacted my life the most, and we had a client who was from out of state and had really possibly the most difficult growing up story I've ever heard. Just a lot of difficulty in her childhood and as she grew. And came to a point where she was in a relationship with a guy who was abusive, and she became pregnant. And when she became pregnant, he gave her money and said, you're having an abortion, this is it, this is what you're doing, period. And so to her, in that situation, if you put yourself in her shoes, there was no other option. She may have had fear for her own life or safety. And so that would be an example of a man not living up to the image of God he was created in. But the Lord brought someone into her life who was a man living up to his image of God. And that man was not in relationship with her. It was just a friend. But he basically said, I'm gonna help you. I'm gonna protect you, and I'm gonna protect this child. And so he was able to protect her, and she ended up coming to our center. And she ended up choosing life. She ended up, actually, today she came speaking with Nancy for a few hours and then meeting with me and some other advocates. And now it's just a beautiful picture of a mom, a wonderful mom, who's working really hard to take care of her child and to honor God. And so that's just kind of to give you a picture of the differences that men can make in a woman's life. They're important to us. So, and then we wanted to share a little bit about our fundraiser, our annual fundraiser coming up, our speaker. Abby Johnson.
Yeah, October 22nd is our annual fundraiser. Many of you have been there before. And it's quite remarkable that we get to have Abby Johnson. She wrote this unplanned for those of you. I see a lot of things going like this. She was a Planned Parenthood director for about 13 years. And so she'll come and she'll share her story of what it was like to work in Planned Parenthood and now the pro-life work that she does with 40 Days for Life and speaking all over the world on matters of life. And she's quite dynamic. She's very bold. So I will say it is definitely not going to be a place for children. I've watched some of her videos and read some things, interviews with her. She's very bold about her stand. And so it's going to be a very powerful evening. So we have different levels of involvement. Some of you have hosted tables before. This is our one fundraiser for the year. And so just keeping that in mind, if you do host a table, there will be an ask for donations. We have table sponsorships. If you're interested in sponsoring a table or underwriting or just attending, we have all that information in the back, and you can go on our website also. Who's Karen at work?
Tom.
Okay.
Who's Karen?
Yes. Yeah. So if you're interested in getting involved with us at all, we have flash volunteers that we just call as needed. We have in-center volunteers of every kind, any kind of gifting. So you're going to get a chance to talk about ways that you can get involved really within your own church family, community with us. We had some really creative ideas. We had a couple of young ladies, some of you might know Sharon O'Donnell from Trinity. She and a friend of hers came in wanting to provide meals for people, for women after they have their babies, so postpartum meals. And so they're going to be doing that for our young moms, which would be wonderful. A number of things recently, just people really thinking outside the box for how can they really nurture our single moms and create relationship. And so you're going to be hearing more in the coming months about our Bridge Builders program, which is basically us connecting with the church community. So people, because we really want to link the clients, once they're finished going through our life coaching or parenting classes, we really want to link them into the community. We want to be able to give them a community of believers around them to help them be successful as they make their next step in life. So you're going to be seeing more about the Bridge Builders program, and it's, you'll be learning more about that. But it's really a community-based thing. It's within your church community, it's within your church family, inviting a mom for dinner, just introducing them to people, inviting them to small groups, whatever you have going on in your church community, to help them begin to build their own network for success as they raise their children or their child up. So anyway, check out our table in the back, and we'll be available for questions.
Discussion. If we can do the last slide. There we go. Thank you.
Yeah, so these are some questions that we thought you guys might want to talk about at your table. We're going to be kind of floating around too, so if you have any, please grab us. Thank you.
Thank you. really quick for the ladies. We do have some time if we want some big group questions really quick. And then also, I'm going to let Olivia explain how they have a texting system too if you want to text them some questions.
So if you have a question for us, if you want to text it to Nancy, that way there's confidentiality too, depending on what question you want to ask. You can text it to Nancy, and then we'll read the question aloud, and we can talk about it a little bit.
So the number you can text is 208-596-2418. I'm sorry, I don't have the number on the screen. 596-2418. If you do have a question that you want to share, we'll read the question, and then we will stumble to yes. Yes.
It's not something that I want confidentiality about. Hope was just wondering, a lot of the surveys say that like 90% of the women don't have any regrets, and that doesn't sound like a normal survey. So is that like slanted or?
Yes.
So do you have an idea like what percentage of women really don't feel that?
You know, I don't know. I deal with women and men who do regret, and they really do want to have, they want to receive healing. I can think of only one person comes to mind, so she does not regret not having the child that she had conceived, and she's not a parent and doesn't have any desire to be a parent. But when you look at what surrounds a person's life, I know this person really well, and she's had a lot of brokenness, and she's had a lot of broken relationships, especially within the family. So somebody who maybe they do say they don't regret their abortion. It was a good decision for them at the time. If you look at some of the evidence in their lives, like isolation, like increased drinking, like drug abuse, or broken relationships even with their children, that's all evidence of just a really broken soul. And I know that that's how I was too. I mean, I didn't know God, and I didn't regret my decisions. It was right for me at the time. I mean, I was in complete trauma brain. But then I did, the coping mechanisms kicked in, drinking and alcohol and lots of promiscuity. Those are pretty typical things that you see following abortion with somebody. You don't typically see a really someone who gets through it and actually does move on and has successful relationships and children to follow, unless they have really been able to take it to the foot of the cross and just receive that amazing grace that he has for us. That's the only time I've actually seen a life turned around from that. So statistics, there would probably be a lot of women who would say they don't regret their abortion, or it was a good decision at the time. But when you look at the evidence of their lives, you'd probably see a different story. There's a lot of shame involved, and if people say, yes, I regret my abortion, but they haven't been healed, that would be pretty, pretty miraculous.
Were you asking how we, how, did you say something about flyers on campus?
Right, like what are the most common ways that women that do end up in your office hear about CareNet and are able to know that that's an option that's available?
That's a good question. A lot of the clients I see will say they've heard it on the radio or seen an ad, and we do table events on campus. So we have like hot chocolate Monday or Wednesday, and so we at that point we hand out flyers, or we also like at the beginning of the year in dorms we will give different types of promotional items. Like this year we had hand sanitizers with the Wish Medical logo on them.
Tabling events. You're going to see a lot more of a marketing, an increase in marketing strategy for the campuses. We do also have a college group called Wish Education. And so we have materials and presentations that we can take into the living groups on campus. And we have done that in the past. We didn't have an opportunity to do that much last year, but the hope is that we're able to get into the sororities, especially in the fraternities. That's really, I think, this year the whole Reed community is going to be a big target area for educating them on healthy relationships and about who we are.
And I think there's also a lot of word of mouth. I have a lot of clients who will say, "Oh, my friend came in," or "I know her from sports or from, you know, my class." So that's another way that it spreads. I think she's asking how there's a way people can help spread the word on campus.
Oh. Yes, if you want to help spread the word on campus, we have lots of ways that you can do that. So you probably just want to be able to pick up a flash application back there and we'll contact you. Steve Davis is our CEO, and he oversees the campus side of things, and so he would be the person to contact you by email. Set something up and then find out where your gifting is, find out where your talents are, and then put you to work. Lots of ideas.
How many people do you have working for you, and how many are volunteers?
Yes. I believe there are 11 of us on staff, and then we have two more part-time-ish type people, about 20 hours, and then we have in the neighborhood of 40 very involved volunteers, and then we have probably 25 more of volunteers who just come in for, you know, PRM types things as needed, for mailings, for fairs, and that type of thing. So.
We love our volunteers.
Oh, so man, yeah.
Such a blessing.
It's a real growth. It's a real growth opportunity to become a volunteer.
And when you started out, how many were you?
I started in 06, so it was already going. Brenda Salter, some of you know, she was our CEO at the time. And so there was only like two people in 06. And client services director and Brenda Salter, and then we hired, I took the client services position, we hired a receptionist, and then a nurse came on to do ultrasound, and we introduced that in 06. And we just growing, and we have a new place, and so we have that wonderful, beautiful building now. Come by and take a tour, it's very, very beautiful. And so we're sitting in about, I think there's 11 people right now.
This might be like a super broad question, but what are some of the areas you need help with the most?
It does. It depends on who you ask. You know where your niche is. It's like, I need volunteers. No, I need volunteers. But we really like to spend time with the person who's interested in getting involved and finding out what their gifts and talents are and then matching them up. There's a myriad of things that people can do. And so there's always a need. There's always holes to fill. And so we really like to match somebody with the passion in their heart, because that's how volunteers stay for a very long time. So it's really pretty individualized. And if we're not doing something that somebody has an idea for, chances are we can develop that.
We would always love to have more people who want to meet with clients too, so that would just be my answer.
See, she's saying client advocate because that's what she does.
I just had a question about, do you have any sort of ballpark percentages on how many people are coming in for maybe pregnancy related or STI testing or counseling or like parenting resources? I know there are a variety of services, so like, how would you break that down? Is the majority pregnancy related?
She was asking, what is the majority of clients we see? Is it majority for pregnancy tests or STI testing or family resources? Because we offer all of those services.
Yeah. I would say most of the clients are pregnancy related. Whether, a smaller percentage are the crisis ones, even some that are abortion vulnerable, and then kind of widening. Widen the circle. We do have people who are very happy to be pregnant come in, and we always love that. We do really like that. And then we have people coming in who they need resources, they want to take parenting classes. So it's all opportunity for us to love on a lot of people who have never met Jesus before, who have never had any kind of interest in the community church. It's all opportunity to be that to them. And so, and then we have probably mostly pregnancy related, and then that in STI clients. We have had quite a few more college students coming in for testing with sexually transmitted infections. And we love that because these are the kids that are actually abortion vulnerable even if they're not pregnant. So really the whole idea behind starting this TB testing was that we would be able to talk to them about their risk for abortion before they ever get pregnant so that they begin to think about the possibility if they are having sex, then they are at risk for becoming pregnant. And if they're single, they're a college student, they are not involved in a serious relationship, or even if they are, as we heard, they are still abortion vulnerable. And to have that conversation, and it really does help them take a step back and think about the decisions that they're making, the choices that they're making, or even the circumstances that they might find themselves in, and how to protect themselves. And so it's all related in that way. The conversations all are related in the same kind of vein, even though they're coming in for different purposes. We do want them to really understand the risks that they're taking in their lives and in their futures, their reproductive health. Does that help?
I just want to say something really quick about the STI test, and I think we're out of time for questions right now, but we will be back there at the table for any more questions. One other thing that I've noticed about STI clients is they really just need someone to talk to. So that's something you can do even if you're not volunteering with us. If you know a college student, be available for them. Be the kind of person that they can talk about their relationships and their struggles with, and show them, Christ's love, and eventually they might, hopefully they'll be open to what Christ's what his map is for how relationships work and how it should be.
We'll do table discussion now, but thank you so much, Nancy and Malia.